And it always goes live. And here we go. All righty. Welcome, 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 everybody, to another wonderful interview that I'm doing. I'm really enjoying these. I might do them every single day for the rest of my life. With me today, I have some really, really special guests. I don't have one person, I have two. I have the venerable Mr. Happiness himself, the happiness dude, Dr. Mark Leonard. And I have the beautiful Becky with the doctor. Coming. So they're here to talk. Their program is called Happiness Breakthrough, focuses on three major things: high performance training, nutrition, I can't even read my own notes, and relationships. So basically, taking health and wellness from a very, very holistic, multidisciplinary view. And so thank you, Dr. Mark and Becky, for joining me this afternoon.
Hey, thank you. This is pretty fun, and I think you should definitely do these every single day for the rest of your life.
Okay, done. I don't know if everybody else wants me to do this for the rest of the rest of my life, but I mean, no challenge accepted. So tell me, guys, like I know you guys are a team and you do a lot of these videos together. What does it actually mean to be happy?
Ooh, that's a great question. Okay, so what does it really mean to that? That is deep. Boy, I really wish that you'd warm up to things instead of just getting right into the middle of what happiness really means. So it's really fascinating because haven't we been taught for so many years that happiness has to do with how much money you have in your bank account, where you go on vacation? It has to do with how great your Instagram really looks. And yet, those things really don't drive happiness. They may be some outcomes of it, but happiness is much deeper. For me and my studies and the things I look at is happiness is more about the journey and not about the destination. It's about how you get from wherever you are, whatever your past was, whatever it is, wherever you're kind of your situation in your life. It's finding those moments in life to go, hey, wait a second. I can actually have happiness and joy right now, and how we can celebrate that happiness and joy along our journey to wherever we're going.
Yeah, you know what? And that's what I love that because, and but I struggled with that for a long time because when I was looking at, success is a journey, and I'm like, what does that even mean? Like, success is okay, so it's hard work, fine, I get that. But can I, like, am I supposed to enjoy the process or not? You see all those, work like you want today, like nobody wants to, so you can live like nobody can later. I was a completely screwed up that thing, but we all get
Yeah.
it, right?
So one of the fun things about happiness and that whole journey thing is, there's been some really cool studies, and this is part of that academic part of me. So give me just half of a moment here. But there was this really cool study that looked at a group of people that were planning a vacation. And there's something about, we go, oh, I can't wait till we're on our vacation and we're going to do this and it's going to be marvelous. But what they did is they measured serotonins, they measured our brain activities, they measured creativity all along the way for planning, as well as during, as well as after the vacation. And what they found is that happiness was actually found in that whole planning and visualizing and going somewhere. It had far lasting impact on happiness and relationships and our productivity and performance. In all the planning, that success, that journey produced all that. When they got on their vacation, it was great and they had the time of their lives. That's wonderful. But one of the things that also happens is people then forget about it. So if you want to have lasting happiness, plan something, spend time visualizing what will it look like, get out the pamphlets, order the brochures, have them mailed to you, and open that cardboard up. And start looking at the pictures and share it with someone and start talking about it. And then once you get there, you're gonna be like, yeah, this is great. And then when you get home, invite people over to say, this is what we did, and break out the brochures.
So how do you do that for business? Because I think a really good idea, and this is a business idea for anyone out there who wants it, go ahead and steal it. Someone should create like brochures for the life that you really want. And then they, like you said, they mail it to you and that you can open up and because that anticipation, I think people don't know how to do it. Like, and I absolutely agree with you. I have seen that study myself, you know, that the anticipation for something is as you know, gratifying for our brains and our bodies as actually being on that vacation. And that's why in COVID, that's really thrown a lot of people off. We can't plan, right? And so I think, you know, when we talk about happiness in a chaotic world, you know, not being able to travel, not being able to go about and really do those things we want to do, it's a big problem. Like we were supposed to take all four of our kids to Italy this year. You know, and we couldn't do that. We've been planning it for 3 years, and now we've had to put it off, and we probably won't be able to go next year either, just based on, you know, the gong show that is, you know, the world today. So my question to you both is, how do we in business, because I totally get in life to plan something and always have something coming. And even if you can't plan travel right now, like there's always a little thing that you can kind of move and got to be a little bit creative, but you can always sort of create this anticipation, have the event, and then have the next thing that follows. How do you do that in business? I mean, I have my own way of doing it, but what do you guys suggest for your clients?
Do you want to take this or do you want me? Okay, I'll take
Yeah. Becky's like, that's not my kind of question. I'm putting you in the hot seat.
So that actually right there was a great model of how you do it in business is that you play upon one another's strengths. And so one of that is understanding the roles that you have. Now, we have the most amazing opportunity to work side by side every single day. And for some people, you know, and they ask, how do you do it? Like, how do you actually work with your spouse day by day on a shared office and a shared desk?
Oh,
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
okay. And
Okay.
how? Everyone wants to know, including me, how do you guys do that? I mean, I love my husband and all, but we have separate desks because I do this and, well, he doesn't.
You know, Becky has a great example of when I kind of left that corporate world and I joined a business that she owned and she was very successful at, and I just wanted to work with her, and I love kind of this
Patience.
how
Okay, she's cutting to the chase here, Mark. She's like, yeah, blah, blah, blah. Patience.
It's really true though. There, we were just talking about this last night, actually, that so many frustrations come from unmet expectations. And in marriage, in relationships, in business, I think that people often think that we're going through these motions and people see what we're doing, so then they should know what it is that our expectation is. And so then we don't communicate it well enough because we think it should be obvious, right? Except that we forget that the other person is living in their head, not our head. And so they don't know what our expectation is. And so then time goes by and you don't communicate that. And then problems arise, and that's when the fights start, and that's when the disappointments happen, and when the sadness happens, and that can really build up. And so there was a
It's never
lot.
built up for me. I have no idea what she's talking about. That's really foreign. She's an angel.
Well, maybe she's communicating something to you, Mark.
Okay, there is that.
She's not being subtle anymore, you know. But you're absolutely right. You get like, no, we're not mind readers, and to presume that someone can read our mind, you're right, is it actually leads to false expectations. So between the setting expectations, you know, and creating that journey and creating those moments in business as well in life, because I think people realize that, oh yeah, you can, you know, create fun things in life, but not everyone has a fun time in business. Like sometimes, especially for entrepreneurs, a lot of my listeners are entrepreneurs. It can be a tough slog, and some mornings you're just like, can I do this, right? Do you have any suggestions for what people can do, like what kind of little things they can plan? Like, is there a way of doing it in the business, or do we kind of rely on those external things to kind of help us with the happiness factor across like our entire lives?
No, I love that because there are definitely things that you could do in the business. And when I'm coaching my clients and working with with the organizations that, that I work with, you know, there is, we're all going to have those Monday mornings that we wake up going, holy crap, I don't think I can do another day. Yeah, right. Yeah. The sheet.
Not doing today.
And so in business and being entrepreneurs and for so many of your listeners, like we recognize and we understand that roller coaster of business. And we understand that we're going to have these high highs and these low lows. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that we do in our coaching is, okay, let's get back to when you're in chaos, when you have things that feel like they're kind of breaking all around you. Let's take a moment to take the time it takes so it takes less time, meaning sit down for a moment and say, why am I in? Yeah, take the time it takes so it takes less time. It's an old cowboy ethic, but the whole idea is sit down for a moment and plan and say, okay, what are, on a Monday morning when I don't feel like getting up, when I feel like pulling the sheets up, when the coffee or the orange juice or whatever it is that you're starting with for the morning is not strong enough, asking yourself, all right, what is the most important thing for me to accomplish this week? Mm-hmm. Like, how will I know that this week will be successful? Because as entrepreneurs, we're always looking to that future. Oh man, it's going to be great when we hit this and this and this. And I want to leave this legacy, right? But we get lost in that week-to-week transition. So one of the strategies is, what are the two or three most important things that I must accomplish this week, no matter what?
Okay. And then so people can accomplish that and feel successful and like checking off those boxes. So that's how you create that sort of anticipation, resolution, like of completing the task. Is that right?
You're already going a little bit too fast here, Rebecca.
Oh, sorry. Back it up.
So yeah.
Enjoy the journey.
I'm sorry already.
Because the other part of it is, how are you going to celebrate when you achieve those things? There's something about, right? Yeah. And as entrepreneurs, we sometimes like to sit here and go, oh man, I will celebrate when I hit my sales goal. I'll take the family to Italy for 4 weeks. I will celebrate and I'll go buy that car I've always wanted to buy, right? Those are the really big things and those are great. And we need to have those. Mm-hmm. But how else could you celebrate along the way? Because if you really want to experience continual momentum and motivation, isn't it true that we're motivated by that little bit of a carrot, right? We always have something that we go, man, it'll be great when. So one of the things I like to do is tie it back to that relationship. What are the most important things in your life? If I could focus and achieve these three things over this next week, maybe I take my wife out to her favorite sushi restaurant, right?
Okay, she likes that. She's like, I'm in. So what are you doing? So what three things are you doing this week, Mark? Well, I think you just got signed up for sushi. She's like, I want the sushi. I want the sushi, let's go. Oh, but I see. Okay, so you kind of almost like intermingle it all together and celebrating it, you know, in small ways all the way along.
Isn't that why we're entrepreneurs? Is we want to have that freedom.
Yeah.
And yet if we put it so far out there, it will almost feel like we can't achieve it. So it makes that slog more difficult. So put intermediate steps, right? Put something in there that goes, okay, the three things I'm going to accomplish this week is, number one, okay, I'm going to put it out there because I have some of them written down. I need to have my mindset course built by Friday.
Cool.
Right? I need to have that built. I have pieces of it that I've done, but I've never actually launched it. For me, I'm going to have that thing ready to launch by Friday.
Okay. Hey,
if I do that, sushi?
Sushi! Woohoo! I'm going to ask Becky every week. I'm like, did sushi happen this past Friday? She'll be like, no, it didn't. And then I know, you know, to follow up with you, Mark. That's really awesome. Go ahead.
He's really good at, though, is when we hit those points in life where in our week where it has become a drudgery, he's really good at being able to say, okay, what is it that we're actually working towards? What is our inspiration? What is the thing that we're like, oh my goodness, this excites me so much. And this is what we're working towards. So we kind of, we love to dream about that. And that kind of creates that vision and that excitement again. And then he's really good at saying, okay, now what baby steps do I need to take to get to that dream? So he's really great at breaking it down so that you feel like you're actually working towards that goal. And it's exciting again. You kind of have to like build back up that excitement for the thing that you're working towards.
Yeah. So it's like the equivalent of, again, having that pamphlet, that travel pamphlet of the life that you really want, and then opening it up and taking a look at it again, like where exactly are we going with this? Right. Yeah. That's really neat. So I'm going to pivot a little bit because we've been chatting and this is all awesome. I love the little tidbits you've given to people, but I did promise if you look at the text above that I would tell people how to solve all the you will tell people, you guys, how to solve their relationship problems for $3 or less. Is it like a $2.99 deal or like the Walmart $2.97, or is it like a flat $3?
You know, it's all based on VAT tax and, it's all varied.
And is it American dollars? Because that's about like $18 Canadian. I mean, I guess there's a conversion here. Right.
It depends
on
how bougie you want to get. It just, do you want the fancy one or do you want the dollar?
I want the $3 meal. So how does it work?
So this is awesome because this is something that we did and it really will cost you $3.
And
I promise that if you do what Becky is going to talk about for the next 30 days, it will absolutely transform your marriage or your relationship.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I actually thought for a second there, you said that she was going to talk for the next 30 days. And I'm like, oh, that's a lot. That's a lot of talking. But you meant if we do what she says, for the next 30 days. Okay. All right, Becky, I'm all ears.
Commas count,
commas save lives.
Years ago, my girlfriend and I, we were noticing that there was a big problem that was happening in this group of ladies that we were in. And that was that every time we got together, it became a bash session on our husbands. And we noticed that as we'd come away from like that girls' night out, that we actually would have less strength in our relationship. And so we decided to start focusing on our husband's strengths. And we went and bought a poster board. So I'm telling you, as cheap as you want to get, you could get a big fancy, I don't know, what is that called? Chalkboard or something, or you could, just go with the dollar special. And we taped it to our husband's side of the bed. And every single morning we would write something that we loved about them. And we did that for a whole month. And at first it was easy. At first it was like, oh, I love his, smile and I love his what, but by like day 10, you're like, then you're really
10 digging. Days. It got tough after 10 days. I got to step it up.
Okay. Maybe longer.
Give a woman a break. Give her a break. Let her, she gotta get this out. So after 10 days, more or less.
A while goes on and all the easies were out of the way. Then you really had to start digging deep about the things that you really appreciated about the other person. And it completely shifted our mindset from one of complaining about all their weaknesses to being so grateful for all of their strengths. And so we've used this in our marriage. We've recommended it to other people, but the beauty is this doesn't just have to be about your spouse. Let's just say you have a coworker that you're like, I cannot get along with them. Or you have a business partner, or, if you're in direct sales and you've got a team member, start writing things that you're grateful for. But I think that there's beauty in the fact that they can see it because it didn't just transform me.
Right.
She got to see all the things that I was grateful for, and then it transformed him and he became more grateful for me. So it seriously strengthened both of us. And it was all by a shift in my mindset for what he was amazing at instead of what he was terrible at.
Yeah. I have a question for you, Mark. So I think this is a beautiful, beautiful example. So here's my question to you, Mark. She starts writing this stuff about all the things that she's grateful for. How much pressure did you feel to now really step up your game and live those in a very consistent way?
Right.
Well, it does, right? Because all of a sudden I'm seeing the things that she appreciates about me, right? Remember that whole idea of unmet expectations. Well, now it's out there very, very obvious. For 97 cents down at Walmart, you go get your poster board. For 25 cents, you have yourself a pen and you're right in, you know, you're seeing something. And every morning, you know, I get home from work and I would see something else. And it was interesting because I saw this transformation of, wow, what else does she love about me?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And suddenly now I want to be a better man. I want to be a better husband. And the cool thing is, double your investment, go get two poster boards.
You know what? My brain is just going like in a zillion places.
Yeah.
'Cause you know, like I've got five kids, right. And they're from 14 to 23, almost 24 now. And I think like psychologically, that is such a powerful tool. So I've gone to the dollar store and I've got those little whiteboards, you know, like the little tiny ones. Yeah. I think what I'm going to go do is I'm going to go buy six. Well, I'm going to do seven because I'm going to make my husband do me. And then I'm going to do him. And I think every day I'm going to go around to all the kids, like in their washrooms, right? I'll wait till my one kid gets up because it is an ensuite and that might be frightening. He's 17. We don't walk into anything when they're 17. Anyway, if you like knock, you're like, hello. Anyway, but have something where they can see in my writing something I really appreciate about them, you know? And because I think this is absolutely a beautiful, beautiful thing, because you're right, Mark. You start saying like, if that's what she sees, right? What, like, you want to be that. You don't want to kind of go, excuse me, Becky, you're wrong. I'm not that. So like, whatever, because it's what she sees, and that you can't take away how someone else feels and what someone else sees. So I think that's really, really awesome. And I think I'm going to go do that. Because it raises everyone up. I think it's a beautiful idea. I'm going to do that now. Okay. You guys carry on with the interview. I'll be back in a minute.
And it's yeah, right.
Like, it's, gotta go.
And think about how easy it really is, and how inexpensive the $3 fix to your marriage. Now, we're not suggesting this will fix everything, but wow, wouldn't you rather take a few moments and think about the very best of who you're in a relationship with?
Yeah,
absolutely. And there's, you know, one of the things that we noticed is that there is a channel on the cable networks that is directed towards children, and they have a major park in Florida and a major park in California and Walt D W Disney put it together. And so
the main character is a squirrel, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Right. Got it. Yeah.
Rocky and Bullwinkle. So
absolutely. So funny.
but you know, as we were watching our kids watch the shows that were on there, and the disrespect that the children had for their parents, it begins to bleed over. Mm-hmm. And we started to see some of that in our home. So one of the ways that we changed our family dynamic is, you extrapolate this whole idea of husband and wife putting up the poster boards, you're each talking about that and putting that, you know, putting something up there, but then having conversation about that in front of your children.
Mm-hmm. That's, you know, really nice. I like that.
I really loved how, you know, the dinner that she made. I just really loved, and I know it's a funny thing. I just told her just a couple minutes ago, I am so grateful that you got that bag of broccoli at Costco the other day.
I really did.
But here's the thing. I really appreciated that because it's the vegetable that I love, and there's not many of those. So... but I just shared my gratitude with her, and you know, what's going to happen the next time that she goes there? I'm not doing it to manipulate. It was a heartfelt. I was really appreciative.
You're truly grateful.
But now we could have those conversations in front of the kids. And now we have a board called the gratitude board that we have in our home right now. And every day you walk in, you write something that you're grateful for.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a family thing, and everyone writes something, and our grandkids come over and they write something that they're grateful for every day. It changes that family dynamic. It changes. The most important thing is not your business. It's your relationships.
Well, you know, isn't it Covey? I think it's Covey that says that people live up to what you think of them.
Yes.
So even if you've never said anything, you act in a way that they live up to. So if all of a sudden your kids start seeing all the things that you believe are great about them, they will live up to that. If your husband now sees all the things that you think are great about them, he'll live up to that. And then your focus, your internal focus, without even realizing it, your subconscious has now started treating them in a way that they will live up to instead of living up to the opposite, right?
Yeah. You know, I love that because I have been in, you know, previous relationships, my current relationship with my husband, if he's listening right now, love you, babe. You know, it's just absolutely amazing. It's a relationship I only thought I'd find in novels, right? Just, it's just so amazing. And we've worked at it, don't get me wrong, but it's I feel like it's really, really strong. But I've been in other relationships where that lack of communication, that lack of expectation was absolutely there. And it's really frightening and it creates even more uncertainty. So I know we're kind of full circling back to kind of what we had introduced the topic today of, like, happiness in a chaotic world and how do you find it and all that kind of a thing. Like, how much more unstable do we feel as humans if our relationships are also sort of missing a beat in terms of expectations versus reality? You know, because if we don't tell people what we think of them, like the nice things we think of them, hopefully, you know, like they just don't know what to live up to. And then they don't know, are they doing okay? Are they not doing okay? Like, there's lots of loving relationships where there's a lot of instability and uncertainty because they're like, one doesn't know what the other one wants. So they try to live up to that. And they're doing a whole bunch of things that they believe serve the person, you know, but in the end, the person's actually looking for something different. So, I mean, it's where the five love languages came from, you know, that relationship book. And I will say, when someone recommended that book to me, and I'm like, okay, like, I'm not into the woo-woo stuff. I'm sure some people are, and that's fantastic. Fills a hole, knock yourselves out. Me, not so much. I like stuff on science. I like it to be logical and I like it to be something that's applicable, right? So I'm like, fine, I will take the quiz. And then I actually got the book and I'm like, I'm just going to go all into this so I can do my research and see what I think. You know, it was really enlightening because I got a better understanding of what I needed. And then, of course, naturally, I think what everyone does, you take it to your spouse and it's like, which one are you? I need to know. So that I can deliver in a way that's helpful. It's the same with my son when he got diagnosed with Asperger's. I didn't know previous to when he was 12 years old that he had Asperger's, but as soon as, because I didn't know what it looked like, I'd never seen it and it doesn't come from my family. We don't know where it comes from, but it doesn't matter. But I didn't know what to do to communicate. And my son and I would always, it's not that we butted heads, we would communicate like this. Mm-hmm. And I'd be just like, why can I not get through? And I would share stuff like, okay, well, when you do this, I feel this. And he'd be like, interesting information. Can I have a cookie? And I'm just like, look! Anyway, so it was so refreshing when I got the diagnosis that he had Asperger's because I'm like, they love rules. Now I can do something with this. Now I know my expectations for my son. And now he can set expectations for himself. He now communicates openly with his friends. Hey guys, I've got Asperger's. I can't read the room. You have to help me out. If you say something, I'm assuming that you mean that thing because sarcasm doesn't kind of get in the way he is. And so, like, this whole concept I just love so much because it extrapolates into so many different ways. Like, because with mental health, you know, it's such a big thing. And yet one of the first things people do is they hold back. They clam up. And they try to deal with themselves, or they're too afraid to deal with it or to talk about it. And I know there's, like, more and more opportunity to speak about it. But I think what a wonderful gesture to kind of start opening up to tell people, not necessarily about themselves, but something they appreciate about that other person. And I think that would just, it helps everybody open up. I just really love this topic. So I hope you guys come back and do another one of these with me because I'm having a lot of fun.
Oh, anytime. We love it. Yeah, we absolutely love it.
You heard this. This is on camera. He said, okay, excellent. Now you're roped in forever. So to wrap up the conversation today, what would be some final thoughts? We've covered so many different things. I love some of the tactics you've given today. I think they're going to be really, really useful for people. But if there was sort of one thing that you could leave my listeners with, what would that be as we wrap up today's conversation?
You know, for me, the one thing that I would want to leave more than anything else is just to ask yourself, right? Each of us take a moment in this moment of chaos, in times of good, in times of plenty, in times of whatever the time is. Mm-hmm. Just ask yourself, okay, how can I show up right now with intention to be $1 million husband, wife, mother, father, son, daughter? How could I show up to be $1 million performer in my job? Mm-hmm. And what does that person need from me right now? How can I show up my best? And what does that other person need from me? And the only way to really understand what they need from me is to be willing to have those conversations.
That's awesome. And Becky, any last thoughts from you too?
I love this whole topic of finding joy in chaos. Mark and I have been through a lot of really difficult times. And I remember having like a moment where I was just sobbing and I was like, life is over. I don't even know how to process anymore.
I've been there.
Right? Like we all have, where it just, life can be so hard. And I remember thinking in this like moment of sobbing, hang on, there's happiness even with joy. It's what I choose to focus on. It's whether I choose to see the good in him or the bad. It's whether I choose to focus on the things that will lift my business, or whether I'm just like sinking into oblivion, or like whatever it is that you're going through in your business, in your relationships. There's always joy. There's always something that you can say, gosh, I am so blessed despite all of the struggles.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think a book that I love that relates to that is Man's Search for Meaning, right? Yeah. By Viktor Frankl. Such a great book that kind of really talked about it from even a situation that may none of us ever have to get into, but he found meaning in it and was able to pull through. So thank you both for joining me today and for sharing your happiness. It's really awesome. I always love to have couples on that really like each other. It gets really awkward if they don't. It's like, so this has been an absolute joy. Thank you so much. We will have you back again and have a fantastic afternoon.
Thanks, everyone.